City of Tukwila City Council Finance and Governance Committee meeting. I'm the Chair, Kate Crowler, and with me in the room is Councilmember Deshaun Quinn, and then online is Councilmember Stranus Johnson. We have one item only under business agenda. It's the Financial Sustainability Plan, Process and Product Framing. Brian Murphy is the principal, and Catherine Guest is a senior associate from Burt Consulting. You're going to walk us through this information, and our recommended action is to forward it to the October 2 regular meeting. So take it away.
Great. Well, thank you, council members. Glad to be here this evening. So I was last here about a month ago to talk through the application process, the recruitment process for the Fiscal Sustainability Committee, and that's underway. And we're here this evening to review with you the material, some material that would be available to committee members on the first day of the meeting that would help frame the process for them and also describe how we'll work together with them through that process. And our objective tonight is to walk you through, get your feedback, we'll make revisions, and then we'd like to bring this forward to the full council on the second week from this evening. But happy to take any questions or feedback this evening as we go through that. So I'll just start by kind of outlining what's in the materials. So on page 3 of your packet, I think there's a table of contents. So there's and I thought we could just step through each of these in turn, kind of review it and then take your input. So the project purpose and committee charge first, and then some draft direction from City Council. So when we last met, you expressed some desire to establish City of Tukwila values or guidance for the committee so that when they do their work, they're doing it sort of within those guidelines. So we took the initiative to kind of draft that from you, but obviously seeing as that's coming directly from council, we're particularly interested in your feedback on that piece. And then we have proposed committee agreements for how committee members would operate and work with one another, and then an overview of the anticipated meeting process and an outline of what we think the final product might look like in the end. So I'll speak through the first couple, and then my colleague Catherine will speak through the last two. So on page 4 of your packet is a project purpose and committee charge. The project purpose is, I believe, verbatim from what's on the website right now describing the process for the community. Up at the top, we've got the three core questions for what the process, the sustainability effort is designed to address. And then the two components are called out, the financial sustainability plan and then the utility rate study. So hopefully this will be familiar to committee members. And then down on the bottom there, we've described their charge as a group. And we've largely focused that as advising ourselves and also to City Council and through the strategy development process, emphasizing that they're not a decision-making body, but in fact an advisory group, and that we'll be asking them to review information about the city's financial context, condition, and factors that will affect future revenues and expenditures, review options for addressing sustainability, both on the revenue side and on the services side, and then preparing recommendations for mayor and council to consider going forward.
No question. Please. Well, first, do you have any comments on this page?
On page 4?
Mm-hmm.
No.
And Cynthia, do you have any questions on page 4? Okay, my one thought is, even though it's here, part of our problem is that we've been immersed in this for a long time, and we actually know that there's sustainability challenges to address. But on this page, maybe you can point it to me. You know, last year we went through a budget cycle where we had a $3 million gap and added a tax. I think they should know that in some kind of context with this purpose. I don't want to either go granularly or anything, but they have to know the big snapshot is, you know, why we were there was because we had a 1% property tax increase limit for 20 years that we're falling behind. And we got to a point where we had a gap here. It would have been even more interesting without COVID. Now that, you know, we're through COVID and building back, you know, are we applying the right tools to this? You know, and what do they think? Do they understand how cities are behind? So I said a lot of words. It could be really simple.
Sure.
But just like, oh, wow. You know, it's not so easy if you were to plan 6 years ahead on the means we have and the projections we have. Does that mean, you know, paying more in order to keep the services we have? Or does that mean, oh my gosh, we got to trim back and there's some services they don't want in order to put it. So that was a lot of words. And I don't know how you do that in the opening thing. So I just handed you a little bit of a puzzle. But I don't mean it to be difficult. Just let them know.
I think we can weave that in. And then also in the material for the first meeting, we'll be providing more context and more content for them. Mm-hmm. So this is largely sort of a functioning of the work, but then we'll also bring a summary of the community demographics, your revenue sources, a bit of history.
Yeah.
I think we can definitely allude to that here as well and say this is happening for a reason, right? This is a recent context.
I didn't have a question, so this is the only question that I have, and the chair kind of kicked it off, and I agree with that, because you got to know the situation you're in order to think about going forward. If we believe we have all the money in the world, then you know, it's just about everybody else making bad decisions. But the reality is, we've grown from 9,000 to 21,000. And some of that's, I'm assuming it's implied in like the utility rate study and stuff like that. So let me get to my question. The opportunity. The one thing that I didn't see in here, I saw a whole bunch of other stuff, so I was going to wait. But I think it's appropriate in the frame. Is actually it's on this. The reason why I didn't have questions, I didn't know if it was on this page or the next page. So I'm just going to say it. So, you know, in here, these are all things that I agree with. This is great. This is straightforward. Talks about being technical specific, which makes a lot of sense. But then there are examples of how other jurisdictions have approached the same challenge that we have across the state of jurisdictions. And I just didn't see any reference in there, whether it be best practices or creative ideas to consider. Here's a lane to go in. So, and I know we can't put it all in here and all up front and all that stuff. And like I said, it's implied, but like this is, it's part of the framing of like we're going to entertain best practices and approaches from other jurisdictions that are used that have faced this same problem.
Sure.
So that was my one contribution and add to. And supportive of kind of having the history and background. And I think we've tried to do that historically over the years in finance committee as we engage on these issues.
Good. Okay.
And I would throw in the word benchmark with other cities. And that your resources, you may or may not know, are regionally with Sound Cities Association, statewide with Association Washington City, Cities, and I can plug you in with people at National League of Cities. Who will tell you what's happening in this situation across the country and what people are doing about it. And it'd be kind of nice to have that resource for them to just kind of go, okay, we're not up against this ominous thing that nobody's ever hatched before.
Right.
In different ways and what matches our values.
That's right.
Okay.
And it might be just important to note also, in preparation for this work, we've looked at a number of other jurisdictions who've been out doing this work off of Shoreline. Seattle, Kenmore. So a lot of groundwork has gone into looking at some of those and kind of where they landed, some of the pitfalls, just to help up some of our framing. And we'll certainly continue to press that.
And I think we assumed that was implied from the last conversation. And I think Mike said it the last time you were here. But we have to get the full picture or we're going to have a food fight over individual understanding of where we are.
Right.
And there are people who will say that I want a fixed income, which is absolutely correct. And you have a city that's asking for and needs more services to cover the fundamental responsibility that we have. So again, it's implied, but it's not stated.
And I'm going to go to Cynthia. I see your hand up. So I can see your hand, but I can't always guarantee it if things move around. So don't be afraid to just kind of stick your hand up for her. Wiggle around a little bit.
Thank you. This is kind of building off of what you all were talking about. The question that I had, and for first and foremost, I think that I really liked what I read, like this initial plan. I thought it was great. My question for you all, this knowing that this is not the first time, this is not the first city that you're doing this project mm-hmm. with, my question for you is, you know, were the other cities that you worked with processes similar in terms of involving community members who did not have, you know, the same level of exposure experience that city council members have around budget? And how is this process that you're presenting to us similar or different than what you've done in other cities?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great question, council member. I think it's very similar. And we come at it with an approach that really should level the playing field. Some folks will come into the process, some committee members, with some prior knowledge, and others won't. They'll have interest, right, but won't. And everyone may come to it with some misconceptions mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So we actually purposely kept this project purpose and the questions really pretty neutral. We've looked at cities across the state, and they all run into this fiscal cliff, as sometimes called, at some point, even the most wealthy. So we know that's going to be the case, but we wanted to slow down a little bit and do the analytics ourselves. You all actually know more about Tukwila's finances than we do at this point. We haven't had a chance to sort of dig in. So Catherine and her team will be bringing that material forward and making sure everyone sees the same information and starts with the same baseline information. And we'll always present the key findings for folks to consume and sort of exhibits and charts, and also just some bulleted takeaways, and try to make that really accessible and put some of the more nice to have but not essential material into a back and an appendix and make that available as well. You know, I'd like to say that all the decisions made by this process should be based on information that we collectively bring forward through the process, so that it's not being informed by prior assumptions or work that's done outside this process. Anything you'd add?
Yeah, I think the last city I personally worked on a project like this, I think in the meeting plan outline, it'd be really good to start with more of that context about the community and about the fiscal situation and about, like, have everyone really grounded in the same information mm-hmm. and working from the same starting point to have a good start.
Great. Okay. Move on.
All right. So on page 5 of your packet is the direction from City Council. And again, I want to emphasize that this is draft because we here would be speaking, you know, for you. I noted we say on October 9th the council adopted this, and we actually would change that to hopefully that would be October 2nd. So we'd very much like your input on this. We broke the guidance into two pieces, one being process guidance for how will the work be done. And we were just actually speaking to some of that it will be fully inclusive and accessible to everyone, regardless of where they come to the process from. It will be Tukwila specific. It will be analytically based, and we'll fold right into that. It will be informed by best practices and benchmarking, and that's part of what our team brings to the process. And then it needs to be transparent, I think, not just for committee members, but also for anyone in the community, resident or business owner or employee or whoever may have an interest in this, to see the material on the website. So that was our thinking in terms of process. And then in terms of evaluative criteria, the committee will have lots of choices to make. In the end, we hope that they create a package of recommendations that balance limited city resources, the desire for city services, and equity. So I think Council Member Quinn, you were just speaking about that, and that's ultimately what we're working towards. So to get there, we have a number of different criteria: equity, cost, magnitude, growth. So looking at different ways that either revenue sources or service changes could be brought together to create that package that in the end balances limited resources, desired services, and equity in terms of that burden of obstacles. So we structured these largely as questions, thinking that as we bring forward different options or different strategies, these are the kinds of questions we need to answer. And yeah, we'd love to get your thought about this. I'll just note that some of the, on page six, some of the bullets there, stability, sustainability, magnitude, feasibility, those are really important, I think, but a little bit down in the weeds. And it's making sure that we're talking about things that make a difference. So the magnitude is big enough that it's really going to move the needle. I don't think it's worthwhile to spend the committee's time talking about small changes that really won't help the city's fiscal position. And that whatever strategies are designed or recommended rather by the committee can actually be implemented effectively by city staff without an undue requirement on city staff to, you know, go door to door and collect something or something like that. It's just, it's got to be commensurate with the revenues it generates. So there's some practical aspects of these criteria as well.
So I'm going to, before we get equity, just look up at Councilmember Delsfield-Johnson and say, do you have any comments on page five through halfway down page six? Councilmember?
Nope.
We're looking good.
The bottom of page six is really just saying back to you, we took time to read the equity policy and called out the items there that seem most relevant to this. And I would want to put this in front of the committee as well, and saying that when the city of Coquitlam talks about equity, this is kind of the thinking that's been invested in that and the definition that's being used. We will apply the equity toolkit wherever we can when, you know, when that makes sense, as we're looking at outcomes and strategies. So this is just part of being Coquitlam specific, as we want to be referring to and leveraging and using sort of the prior conversations that have happened here in Coquitlam and the policy frameworks that your community's put in place.
I have one comment, but checking with the other two on the equity piece. Okay. I'm wondering, and it's just a thought, I'm not here to tell you how to do your paper, but you give them the context of who they are and their committee's charge. It seems to me you would talk about the city's view on equity before you start down to the evaluative process. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you put it here because maybe you think that's part of the evaluation process. But to me, it's bigger than the evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just sharing that out, and you don't have to make any changes. I just thought I'd pop that up as a comment. Wonder if that would be a better arrangement, or am I just not seeing it right?
I think it'd be fine to elevate that and say this whole process, both the process guidance and the evaluative criteria, are really informed by and infused with that focus on equity. And particularly if this is, you know, we'd be saying this is coming from council, I very much want it to reflect the council's desires here.
Which means I got to talk to Cynthia and Sean. Do you think that's a waste of time or an idea worth doing?
I don't think it's a waste of time. It's just, the way I look at it is just where this is arranged right here. I think if you read the equity policy, you know how important it is to the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to make any assumptions about that. But the whole point is, you know, it is an innovation. It is an understanding. And it's collective progress that we've made in government, how important equity is. So yeah, I just didn't make any assumptions, because if you read the policy, then you know it's weaved into the work and the folks that help develop and implement the policy will remind you of, of that process. So it's all here. And I think the last time I was here, I was going, I was one of the people that talked about the equity policy and that included. So as long as it's forms this whole problem, that is how it is.
Cynthia?
I think where it's included in terms of placement in the materials is fine, because it's like in a separate box to me, it was just like information that's relevant, but not necessarily the, you know, evaluating criteria that was listed above.
Okay.
Right. So the only thought was to remove it just before the evaluation headline or leave it where it is.
I think it's fine where it is.
Then I'm good.
All right.
All right.
Okay. All right. Last piece from me before Catherine takes it over here. Sorry, the proposed committee agreements on page 7. So this is material we'd like to bring to the committee itself for discussion with committee members. They may well have other guidelines and other considerations they'd like to bring into the process, and we'd like it to be open to that. It's in three different sections here. The first is fairly logistical, so it's the operating guidelines. So we're saying we'll communicate dates and times for meetings in advance. They'll start and end on time. We'll provide summaries. Well, we'll use email for coordination. It's not really for substantive discussion of content. And that media inquiries, we'd ask they refer to city staff. So kind of nuts and bolts there. Committee member responsibilities and discussion guidelines lay out for a committee member what is expected of them. And I think what I'd call out is the bullets at the bottom of page 7, participate in conversations respectively and productively by. And here we're really emphasizing the importance of teamwork and collaboration, listening to understand, and also proactively, you know, sharing insights and opinions, and trying to really emphasize in a number of ways that we hope this is a learning process for everyone and an iterative process where we move through that. And maybe opinions may change and we may build on points of agreement and, you know, come to a different outcome than we anticipate going into it. I think the piece on page 8 is quite important in terms of when we actually get to decision making, right? At some point in the process, this group must make recommendations. So, of course, we'll go back to the evaluative criteria that council have asked us to use. And then we will aim for unanimous consensus. That would be what we'd like to see. And we define that by saying that all committee members could support or live with the guidance to be shared with the city. So it may not be perfect unanimity on all of that, but if folks are good with it, we'd like to bring it forward as a unanimous recommendation. If we need to, we may make recommendations by majority opinion, but in that case, the report would describe the range of perspectives that were offered.
Okay.
So, yeah, questions or feedback there?
My only suggestion would be to, you know, in the first meeting when you present these to the committee, allow folks to add anything that they think is relevant, because there might be something that, you know, the group decides is an agreement that the group wants to have with each other as they go through this process.
Perfect. Sounds good.
And I'll just add to that that there may be circumstances that play out after a couple of meetings. And so having the ability to have a community agreement that actually helps give everyone the same voice or a level of voice. And then I think I said this to you last week that, you know, we've had a couple of examples. What did we learn from those processes? I've heard a lot from folks who participated and they're very thoughtful, and it's not, you know, that conversation is different than when we first started this many years ago. We've gotten better. We've implemented things. And I think with the community agreements, it's as long as it's in alignment with the values as well. So trying to tie that as well. So that there's still some guardrails and reference points for community agreements. That would be all I say, but it looks fine.
Yeah,
I know that some of
it's going to
be informed by folks who are in the room.
Perfect. So, I have a word, understand. Okay. I don't know where it would fit. It's possibly in that first white bulletin, but, you know, understand and can support, live with, because I don't think you fulfilled your goal at all. A lot of people can disagree, but if they understand how you got there, they won't agree, but they'll, they can at least talk, you know, A, civilly with others, and B, explain it in the public I got left out in the cold. I was the only one that sort of know is not a good place to be, but a good place to be is I'm the only one that voted no. I have these reasons, but I understand for the bigger party and the purpose of the better good. This is what their thought process. Maybe we can get it later, consider it a fail. Right? But if you're just out there, still not even understanding how I got there. So that's a one word addition. I would put, if the other council members are in agreement, all committee members understand and can support, and it continues.
I think it's fine, but it's a low objective because, and I don't even disagree, but it's funny, the more and more we're in spaces, people are like, well, I just don't understand. I'm just going to block you out. I don't agree. I came in with my idea. I'm going to stick with my idea, no matter what you say, no matter what the facts say. So I just think being able to softly wrap around the word, understand.
Is there a better word? It's okay with
no,
me.
No. I
just want them to connect the dots of how we ended up there.
And
even
it could
if
be,
they didn't agree with us.
And it could even be like we agree. Like if we disagree on the merits, there's a space for you to have space as a part of the contributing mission.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, like I said, I don't. That's a new one that we're all struggling to solve, right? Yeah. People are all like,
that would certainly not mean that if someone used that as rope a dope and said, I don't understand through all means, the onus is not upon you to have them declare a plan of play and say, I understand.
Right.
But if you've done your level best to explain the conditions, and it literally says our goal.
Right. That's right.
For unanimous consent, and because all committees at least they can reach a point where they understand and get
started with all these things. That's right. That's what we'll work towards. And then, if necessary, right, we can call votes. And
you got a new boss, right? Okay.
Great. All right, over to you.
Sure. I'll talk a little bit about page 9, which is the anticipated meeting process. So we anticipate meeting 5. Perhaps 6 times between October and March of next year. So this lays out what we would like to discuss at each meeting, what we'd like to take away from each meeting, and we've noted some points where we'd like to come back to the council and provide an update. So meeting 1, we talked a little bit about, and you all made some comments about, but we'd review these materials. There'd be a chance for the committee to add or ask questions or provide some input. We'd have an overview of the Tikwila community profile, so understanding some demographics, about the community and things like how fast it's growing and things like that. And then an overview of the city's financial forecast. So ideally, members have a really good understanding of their role, the goals of this project, and some context for future. So a good foundation. Meeting 2 would be some presentations, ideally from staff or some information from staff describing city programs and services, departmental priorities, needs, and how they're funded, so that members can understand more about what the city delivers, where there may be some needs, where department priorities are, and then highlights from peer benchmarking research, which you mentioned before, and it's sort of maybe buried in here, but that's where we could bring in maybe some, we could weave in here best practices, what we're learning from peers, how do tax and fee rates compare? How does their revenue composition compare? And we could definitely include some, beyond the peer group, some best practices or some kind of innovative ideas. And that could begin here, but maybe it doesn't have to end in that meeting.
Let's pause for a second. Council member Quinn has a question and maybe...
It's not a question.
Comment.
I think I addressed it. It's here, but I think going into it knowing that you're going to get options, like that's a part of your... You're factoring in. That's good. So I don't have any issues. It all looks fine. But just letting you know up front, instead of letting them think, right, like you're just going to be talking about this.
Yeah.
without a consideration. So when it does come up, you're like, well, wait a minute. I thought we were doing fine and you're stopping it right here. This is what we're working. So anyway, this is great.
Cynthia, any comments so far? And then mine is on the benchmarking, you know, one of my favorites, because there's a lot in the state, is the priority budgeting that Bellevue did. So it's good that you have some of that benchmarking going on there. They and cities across the country have literally been excited about the fact that once they did it, they were able to identify things they didn't do well.
Mm.
And that went away, or that the public didn't want. And that went away, or was served through another organization, not the city. Similarly, found things they were magnificent at and could grow it, or if somebody, you know, say we had no community center, that was a priority to everyone. We could say we have no multi-generational center. If that became a priority to the public, then by carving out other programs and saying those are really not what cities do, or this city, Bellevue in this case, did, but these are, then they find ways to fund them. So that was an expansive thought on. I'm glad you mm-hmm. put them in there, but just let them, you know, there are real success stories.
Mm-hmm. The next meeting three, would be a bit of a continuation from the second meeting, where I imagine we wouldn't have enough time in one meeting, so we'd continue talking about city programs and services and learning more from departments. We thought this would be a good point to hear some highlights from the work of the utility rate study and fold that in and hear how that might have an impact on the financial sustainability plan. So at the end of this, ideally, we'd hear from the members some initial thoughts on service priorities and then get a setup to start talking about options. And we also envision after this meeting three, we could come back and provide an update to the council. After meeting three.
Okay.
Yeah. So probably early in 2024.
Excellent.
Meeting four would be where we'd start to talk about options to consider based on the previous work, the documents that we looked at, cities' values, service priorities, and also look at peer benchmarking information or these best practices, what we could learn from others. And we imagine we'd bring packages of options, not the whole wealth of them, because that's a lot to digest, but here's some things that seem to fit, and those kind of narrows the work that they'll have to do. And we can discuss how they measure against the evaluated criteria. So at the end of this meeting, we'd like to hear, you know, if they have initial preferences for options. Again, we envision bringing an update to the council after this meeting. We also have a note in here that between meeting four and five, so this is January, February timeframe, there could be opportunities for additional community engagement or business engagement. That's sort of not nailed down right now, but that could be a good time for that. That may shift the timeline a little bit, but that's something that would be a good point for that. Meeting five, we would start discussing recommendations. If this could go into a meeting six if we needed more time to talk through options and agree on some recommendations. And that is that overview.
One thing to note,
yeah.
And we recognize there's a pretty significant transition that happens there in January.
So
we recognize there's going to be, to the degree we can acquaint folks, obviously, between now and end of year, and then certainly as we go into January, so there's not this kind of confunk or abrupt, like, whoa, you know, I'm just figuring out where the restroom is, and I got this really heady challenge in front of me. So part of our work will be how we bring people along in preparation for transition and assuring that new council members are comfortable and have that kind of level setting opportunity too. So I think building in some flexibility here just to help bring people through it. I just wanted to note that that's important. And I think our key, what we're trying to assure us as we flow into the spring and budget call time and as we get into March and April that we've got a good symmetry as we flow from this work into that budget process. So that's kind of what we have in mind here in the timeline as well.
Councilmember Dole Stearns Johnson. Any thoughts? Okay, Councilmember Quinn. All right, that was what I was going to bring it up, but it was kind of critical. A lot of this is context. I'm getting ramped up until meeting three. And so it's good that with the transition of the council and mayor and everything else, that you are introducing those option conversations with the new guard in place. And it's almost a shame. I don't know when your meetings are going to be in November, but when the elections are known, it'll be the end of November, it seems like. Might want to ramp up a few of those people in workshops of their own. Like an administration transition only for council members and not been there. And so that would be helpful. To just kind of get, you know, the only other thing I thought when you start talking about packages is one of the things that's somewhat challenging as a council member is when budgets come through in little hunks and you don't have the big picture. So it might be important as you introduce that meeting to say, here's the packages in context that we're about to bring before you, and then let's begin. So they understand, you know, this is the trail we're on, and that's where the end is, and here's what you're going to experience in the middle. That helps them not to dive into the first thing you have and tear it all apart, and then find out, oh, yeah, there's five more pieces or seven more pieces to go here, and they all interrelate. Okay. Oh, and I did want to ask, since you're here, it's on the back page, and I don't know it. I know the finance director plans to pull a B&O tax team out of this group. And so how will you do that in this context? So I don't know if that's your job to do, or it's a whole separate effort, and it's just pulling from your resources, or to kind of indicate you're at 100% here, but you're not there, and what does that mean for this team?
Yeah, we've had some discussion. I think we'll talk more when finance director is back of when that might sort of overlay and what our role would be and how that would work.
Page 10, which is the last page, except for this kind of extended tax calendar, is an outline of what we imagine the sustainability plan would look like. So this would just, these are just our thoughts on how this could be structured, and I think it would be helpful. It's helpful for us to, as we do the work, to understand where we're trying to go. And I think it'd be helpful context for the committee to say, here's what our end product is going to look like, and here's just to give them more of that framing. So we'd have an introduction and background and purpose to why we're doing this project, what the city's trying to achieve, and pull in a lot of that context about recent, you mentioned recent actions like budget balancing strategies or budget gap challenges. City, there's a lot of citywide plans and initiatives. There's a lot of trends that will impact program and service delivery as well. We talk about the committee, their role, how they were formed, its charge, and the materials it reviewed. Talk about the financial condition of the city, some major revenue and expenditure drivers, discussion of short or long-term financial challenges, and then we can include in here some information about peer cities where it may be helpful, you know, compared to these other four cities, like here's the revenue mix for Tukwila and how that compares and what challenges that might present. And we describe options that were considered by the committee, followed by recommendations and next steps. These could be short and long-term strategies for consideration by the council and how they would impact the city's financial condition. And one thing we talked about with the staff is how to make sure that this plan stays alive and is revisited. It could be updated. It should help inform the budget process. So we can talk about that, how maybe there's a plan to revisit it at a certain interval and how to kind of keep it alive. That's the outline of the plan. If there's any questions.
Councilmember Quinn, Councilmember Belcher or something. He was not even our shaking head. Not on that page, but jumping back, because once you got to the end, it made me ask, on page 4, on the financial sustainability plan, Will, I think you're trying to describe your deliverables.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a short-term plan and a long-range plan?
Yeah,
two outcomes, or is it one thing that contains those? Just trying to understand your deliverables.
Yeah. One document with both short-term strategies and longer-term strategies that are intertwined.
Okay. Because really, when you get 6 years, that's only three biennials.
Right. Right.
You know, one to make adjustments, one to do what you're trying to do, one to incrementally bring in adjustments, and then one to kind of, I guess, lessons learned your way through. So. Mm-hmm. I don't understand or know why you picked 2 to 5 as opposed to 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know why you picked 6 to 10. So thought I'd just ask. So that's what I remember thinking when I read it. Mm. Why did you pick the range?
I believe actually that was in the RFP, but
I'm sure it was. So you don't have to answer. Please go. Why did you pick those?
I hope it wasn't me who suggested that in the draft of the RFP. You know, I can't recollect. I do remember in some of the drafting and comments back and forth with staff, we wanted to be deliberate about short term and long term with something that's certainly beyond the 6 year horizon, and so the kind of that 10 year at the outer end felt appropriate. Knowing as we got in the outer years, it's less maybe reliable, but gives us at least a bigger picture. I think the increments are flexible if there's council's desire to, make a different division of the years, recognizing more in a biennial process, we can certainly change that up.
That's the only reason it drew my attention. Like, I'm coming to cycle 2, and that felt funny, but maybe you're counting this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes out as, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm a person who has a personal 1 year, 5 year, 10 year plan, and then overall
mm-hmm.
life plan. That, where am I trying to go? I got that from a leadership course, an executive leadership course at a boring company.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at a city, I'm kind of going, we are planning constructions and things. And if you were to ask me, well, everything we want to know that we want to do, be visible on this 10-year, it scares me a little. Now, I also know that it's pretty hard to predict revenues and sustainable plans beyond 10 years. I'm not wanting to turn it into twice the work you signed up for so we get half price. That's not what I'm after. But I am kind of going, wow, we're in the place. I mean, we're having facility studies right now again, and we're going to put together a plan. I don't know if it's only for 10 years or if it's for 20.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we have changed 20-year plans on our bond measure, and so it both points out it's hard to predict, and it also points out that you've got to look ahead to the horizon a little further. And so I don't want to change the contract. I don't want to mess everybody up, but I'm just doing a sanity check here.
Yeah.
Is this far enough out there?
Right.
I think we can
take that under advisement and talk a bit more with staff about what's the right increments. I think in the concept I think holds up is that there'd be some shorter term and more specific direction, and then in the longer term, however we define that, it's going to be even more directional.
And it folds into what you're headed for.
Right.
So it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Just from your own experience with other cities, what levels or increments have they chosen? Just curious. I'm not asking us to adopt it because they did it.
I think it does vary some. And again, it's not we're not developing your budgets that far out. It's more about what tools will you use and what services will you prioritize. So, and I think it's useful to think about what are the planning choices that you'll have based on your capital plans and other things. So to kind of align it in that way, but not presuppose what the outcomes will be or craft those outcomes.
Right.
Yeah, we can calibrate that.
It just occurs to me that if you did something here and your vision was for 5 years or 10 years, then, and it wipes out something that Tukula would desire,
right,
just by the direction it took. And they had no idea.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, you can have these two buildings, but not that third, right, right? Wait a minute, let's talk about it for a second. Right. You can have these programs, but not,
yeah,
you know, build this in, which is a major issue for us.
Yeah.
You know, that we want, okay, you know, get better at.
That's great.
Okay. Okay.
So I'll just say for the record, I'm comfortable with it. I saw it in here. It's actually in alignment with business plan. We have business plans. We have 2 to 5 and all 6 to 10. So I'm comfortable with it. And also fiscal approaches the way the county does it as well, by annual budget. So I'm very familiar with the 2 to 5 and 6 to 10. That's just fine.
Good input. Business plans here that you know of? Or business plans we got?
I've seen business plans with 2 to 5 and 6 to 10. Business plan for business, same thing.
Gotcha.
And business plans for the county.
Okay.
That's 2 to 5. Okay. Yeah.
And I have written business plans for businesses for a living, and they do have varying steps, some that equal what you just said and some that they know. Cynthia, any thoughts? Okay. That looks like all we're going to cover today, unless there's a miscellaneous of any kind. I don't know.
We have if you have questions about that schedule, we'd be happy to answer about this. That's not pillar, unfortunately.
But this is the same as the smaller one, yes?
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
It should be even bigger, but if you have questions, you know, this is our working internal, you know, schedule. So it could shift slightly. But when we're trying to plot out when we would come to the council, when FCS would come to the council, when, and align those with when we expect the committee meetings would happen. So they'll kind of flow. And we're trying to do work on our team now while the committee is getting stood up so we can be prepared. And then the utility rate study, they have a pretty sequential flow of work. Once they do this, they can do this, they can do this. So that's sort of mapped out here. But we've noted who we expect it would be a FERC team or FCS or both who would come to council and what entity and what we would share.
Okay, two thoughts. Can you make sure that this size sheet is in the packet as soon as possible, even if it's before the packets are ready for council members to look at and review? And I don't know if we should get it out or not. An email or not, but it'd be nice for them to percolate over it, because I know 1 or 2 council members that don't like to be rushed on those things. And I think you did really good on the key, with one exception. They might not, if you use any acronyms at all, I know there's one council member who always wants footnotes.
Got it.
Just stuff it in your key. I don't care what.
Okay.
He wants it to be easy for him to know, and then also for the public who may not be initiated. The others that understand it as well. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Unless there's any objections, this meeting is adjourned.